Blog Talk Radio.
Start with them at eye level, and then on this corridor, they begin to rise. And then you get to this corridor, and this is when you begin to confront the scale of all of these lynchings.
Whoa. This is something.
Yes. Yes. We wanted people to have a sense of just the scale of what this violence, what this terrorism was.
So this is over 4,000
yeah.
that have been documented, but of course there are more.
Thousands more. Thousands more.
Thousands more.
And
will we ever even know how many?
We will never know.
Every name has its own story.
Yes, that's right. This was a minister, Reverend T.A. Allen, who began talking to sharecroppers about their rights. And because he was doing that, the plantation owners, the landowners got together and they lynched him. And the proof they used that he was somebody worthy of lynching is that when they found his body, he had a piece of paper that talked about sharecropper rights. And the other piece of paper he had in his suit jacket was a note that said, every man a king. Mm-hmm. A lot of these folks were lynched because they showed too much dignity. They showed too much humanity. He just wanted to be respected as a human being,
mm-hmm.
and it got him hanged.
Welcome to the Radiothon for the National Association of Black Defenders.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
No, great. How about yourself?
Hey, good. You're coming in loud
awesome.
And clear.
Good.
I hope we can continue this. I am on Blog Talk Radio, actually live, worldwide. Radio test for NAB, Dr. Michael McCorvey, prison reform update. Telephone number call in is 563-999-3554. Dr. Michael McCorvey in Washington, D.C. just called me. Michael, if you don't mind, we've got an hour, 59 minutes and 57 seconds left of live time. If you don't mind, I know it's couple of days before Thanksgiving, and we've been going at it hard for the last several days. We was able to get Julius Jones' clemency in place with a lot of work. But give us an update. I recorded Curtis' interview several days ago, and the reason why I haven't uploaded to Mixcloud is because my computer that I usually use is on blank, and I'm going to try to upload it with this computer, but I got to transfer the data from my digital recorder to this one, and that I have never done before, and I'm hoping I'll be able to do it. I may have to go get me another thing to connect to it and get it done, but anyway, give us an update in spite of what's going on with his he's got 10 life sentences. We talked to the young lady that connected. We had a gentleman, his uncle, I believe, connected the last time.
Right.
He talked to us twice from the prison. So if you don't mind, give us an update of what you have.
Okay, we're talking about, first of all, good afternoon, Radio Land. We greet you coming from D.C., the National Association of Black Defenders. We're excited about what Brother Howard is doing and bringing worldwide radio to radio listeners, so you too can be a part of the human rights and social justice activation that we need so bad in America right now. We need prison reform. We need criminal justice reform. We need our whole system need an overhaul. And you can agree to this, America, that we have been without for over 200 years, that our whole system has been jammed with the miscarriage of justice. And we see this every day. And one of the cases that Mr. Freddie Howard was talking about is that of Mr. Curtis Joel Smith. I'm sorry, Curtis Joel Smith, who's housed in the state penitentiary in the state of North Carolina, who's serving a sentence of 10 life sentences, you know, for a crime that, as the documentation shows us, that this young man didn't commit. But he's sitting in prison waiting for another hearing, and he's been sitting there for 20 years. And it's high time that we understand that justice in America is not justice. And we need to understand that we got to take a stand and let the people know that we're not going to stand for this anymore. So I am coming to you to let you know that we are standing strong as a team, as the NAB team, and we want the families of Mr. Curtis Joel Smith know that we are standing behind him, beside him, and really trying to get justice in an unjust system for Mr. Curtis Joel Smith. Now, just to bring you up to date, we're thankful that we were able to get clemency and life without for Mr. Julius Jones on last week. We prayed for that situation. God bless us in that situation, and we are moving forward with that so he can have full clemency. So we're still and on the petition for him as well. If you have any questions, do you have any questions that you want to ask me, or ask Block Talk Radio, you can call 563-999-3554, or you can call the NAB, National Association of Black Defenders, at 561-581-1545. We are here to serve the public, to serve the people, to let you know that we will stand for justice and that we will stand in times like these. When no one else is standing, the National Association of Black Defenders will stand. Now, I want to make this statement. Just because our name says National Association of Black Defenders, we are a human rights and social justice organization standing for all people of color. Let me say that again, standing for all people. We're a multicultural program, okay? So if your son or daughter, whether he's white, black, Latino, of some other race, and they're in a legal predicament that they don't understand, or they have been locked up, or they've been pulled over, racial profiling happens every day in America. They have been brought charges that they don't understand how they got them. Please call the National Association of Black Defenders, 563-999-3554. Mr. Howard, I'm going to bring you in now, my brother. So good to have you, speaking to you live this afternoon on Block Talk Radio. How you doing today?
Okay, I'm doing good. You want to call the radio station? That number is 563-999-3554. That's the station.
Awesome.
The number at the radio station. We're live here now for another 53 minutes. This is actually the test of our radio. We had Curtis Smith on last week. We are going to try to upload that to our Blog Talk Radio later on. In fact, I may try to go back and play it now, Dr. McCorvey. So you begin
okay.
to continue talking. I'm going to set up the other system that I recorded it on.
Okay.
And run it back through the system, okay?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much,
Brother
Howard. Yes, sir. Brother Howard, we want to thank you for bringing this live to our people today. One of the things that we want to focus in on while we're listening to this is that because of the lack of information and education within the black community, we don't have all of everything we need when it comes to our justice system to better understand the system. You know, we can go back and play and roll back the tape and see how injustice plays a major role in our country. Injustice, you know. So we can just look at how, and people can say what they want to say, but I want to say that whole Rittenhouse deal that was on trial last week, Rittenhouse, color and family played a major role in that situation, Brother Howard. And I just shook my head at how this young man that had committed these crimes were able to escape jail time and the charges were dismissed. Now, what if that was, I'm opposing this question to our listening audience. What if that was someone black that had committed those crimes? Where would they stand in our justice system? That's what's going on right now. That's why we had a march on Washington today, because it's too much injustice going on in America, and it has to stop. So I lay that question out there because I want our listening audience to understand the difference between justice and injustice. What if that young man, Rittenhouse, was black and he had committed the crime of murder that was committed? Would he have been given the same type of relief as was given on last week of his freedom? So we got to think, there's a lot of things we got to consider here. You know, we got to look closely at how our justice system plays us as a people. Now, one other thing I want to bring back, and I'm coming back to Mr. Curtis Joel Smith. You know, here's a young man that they said, hearsay to me doesn't count in the legal system. Hearsay, anyone can get up and say, they say, we say, she say, he said. But you have to have hardcore evidence and facts when it comes to the justice system. Hardcore evidence and facts. So that's where I am with our American jurisprudence today. You know, I'm glad to say that we do have our leaders, our local leaders, as well as our national leaders that's trying to bring a difference, bring a change within our system. But that's going to take everyone on their knees praying and seeking God and working toward change. And I use that very dramatically because faith without works is dead. I believe that wholeheartedly. It has to be faith and works working together for the common cause of for the good of man. Can. Everywhere, you know, so we have to gird our lions and stand on the line of prayer and faith working hand in hand. And the book talks about this, that faith and works have to work together in order for us to accomplish this mission when it comes to our children and our children's children being tried by an unjust system. You know, how can we put an end to all of this gravitating and denying of our rights and everything that we're going through when every day that we live, we're being tried as a people and as a nation of African Americans right here today? Beyond, I'm not talking about something that happened 200 years ago, 400 years ago. I'm talking about what is going on in America right now, Brother Howard. So I pose that to our listening audience because that's a major thing that we need to look at closely at. You know, I want to introduce tonight also our team, our executive board at NAB, Mrs. Trey Abner of Virginia, one of our executive board members, Ms. Joyce Pope from University of California, one of our executive board members, Ms. Phyla Merking Jackson. It's one of our executive board members out of Columbus, Georgia. We have other board members, Ms. Montgomery, Crystal Montgomery out of Pensacola, Florida. We have our board staff attorney, Ms. Maron Tedessa out of Atlanta, Georgia. We have Mr. Freddie Howard, who serves on our board. He's our public relations director. We're glad to have him on the board and serving with us. We have others that's on the board. Herman Jones. I talked to Herman today, and Herman said that he's working on some several projects, but for us to go ahead and meet, and he's 100% back in his organization because he serves one of our executive board members as well. We have two attorneys, Attorney Gort out of Florida, Jupiter, Florida. He's on our board. I haven't put him on the website yet. And there's others that's serving on the national board of the National Association of Black Defenders. And we're excited by having a what I call a pro team of hardworking individuals that's seeking justice and equality for all. Let me say that again, seeking justice and equality for all. So we are here serving the people, the public, trying to get, and at the same time while we're serving, we're also educating the public when it comes to our system, okay? One thing that I'll be doing myself, I'm holding classes starting tomorrow. That's right, starting tomorrow, I'll be holding workshops and classes when it comes to the legal system itself. We want to start with our Constitution. I want to do a little teaching from one of my law books. I'm in law school, so I get a chance to teach a little bit. One of my law books, and one of my professors is supposed to come on with me during this class, and we're going to collaborate on a legal forum tomorrow, just starting tomorrow, and talk about some of the constitutional violations in the past trials dealing with Rittenhouse and also in the Julius Jones situation. We won't talk about that because that's a major issue, a major, criminality that was going on and constitutional violations that was going on. And we just want to talk about this because a lot of times we want to overlook the main factor that's going on in any case. And now, in any legal matter, and I'm working on my JD of law right now, in any legal matter, the main thing that violates us is the constitutional violation. If you can point out constitutional violation in a case, you can win a case. So that's supposed to be the case. That's supposed to be the case, but we see that sometimes it's not the case. But we're here to stand and to really make ways for our people. Awesome. Are you there, my brother?
I'm still here, Michael.
Awesome, Okay, good deal. So I got another brother I wanted to bring on. I'm thinking I'll snag him on. I might not be able to do it. Amin just called me from Atlanta, and he called right on time, but I don't know how to plug him in right now. So I'm going to text him the information. And hopefully Amin can dial in on the station. If you have any concerns in your community when it comes to racial profiling, when it comes to your rights, we want you to call the National Association of Black Defenders. Our number is 561-581-1545. Or you can call Block Talk Radio. It's 563-999-3554, and we'd be more than happy to entertain any concern you have when it comes to your America, your community. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Amen. Amen. So we want to really tap into what's going on in America, and we want to get on top of these issues, man. We really do. We really want to get on top of these issues, you know, because we can't let this slide under the bridge and say and close our eyes and say these things are not going on. They're going on in America right now as we speak. So we want to really stay on top of them, get on top of them, and allow the other parties to know that we're not going to stand down, and allow them to do what they're doing in America right now. You know, we're not going to stand for it. We're not going to stand for it. So, you know, we got to stand up. You know, I believe what Dr. King said, that if a man don't stand for something, he'll fall for anything. And that's what we see happening now, even in leadership. You know, you have to stand for something. You have to have a name for something, you know, and your name means a lot, you know. So we have to protect each other in this fight for justice. We have to protect each other in this fight for justice. It's so very important that we protect each other from coast to coast. I'm so glad that the National Association of Black Defenders, we're not only in the areas that we named, California and Columbus, Georgia, and Chicago and other parts of the country, Virginia. We're spreading our wings all over the country and all over the world, trying to get us as a people to understand the difference between human rights and social justice, what we mean by standing up for social justice, what's going on with our rights right now. Even our voter rights are being attacked right now. Let me say that again. Even our voter rights are being under attack right now. You know, so be careful with the redistricting. They're trying to redistrict some communities, but be careful with that, because that's a major thing, a major way that they're trying to even cut down on our voter rights and voter registration in certain areas, certain demographics of the country. So we want to pay close attention to that as well. We need more dollars when it comes to having programs for our community. We need more dollars. We need more dollar power when it comes to having programs for our community. So that is very important.
Dr. McCormick, I believe I got it. I'm going to go ahead and hit play, okay?
Okay.
Can you hear that, Dr. McCormick?
Oh, that's low right there. I can't hardly hear that.
I'm still connected to the switchboard there in New York, but they can hear me, but I can't hear you. But if you call my cell number, I can record your voice to the recorder that's in the studio here.
Okay, I can hear you clear now, loud and clear.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate you dealing with the Satchi College. Thank you.
Now, Curtis should be coming on the show.
Okay, good.
Okay, I still got you on. So the minute they called, it will show up on my line.
Good deal.
Command to step or put you on hold. When they call,
okay.
Put you on hold.
Okay.
We are on Hossie Internet Radio coming from 231 6th Avenue down south here in Beatrice, Alabama. We're in a studio here in Beatrice. Our switchboard number there in New York at Blog Talk Radio is allowing us to be still connected to the show, but we can't bring callers on the line. And the number that you can call is 1-251-362-1935. That's the only open line that I have. I got the line. Let me put you on hold and just make this call. Good morning and welcome to Hossie Internet Radio. I'm your host, Curtis Lee Howard. This is Cuddy Joel Smith.
Good morning, Mr. Smith. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. We have some technical problems, but God is still in control, and we are being able to manage the broadcast today with switching between one line. Dr. McCord is on hold now. You are live, and you got the floor. Say whatever you need to say in regards to your case. I know we recorded you the other night. It's on Mixed Cloud already. This will be added to Mixed Cloud already. You can go again from the beginning and tell the nation about what you are live about. You can tell the nation about what is taken to you and your unjustly punishment. Go ahead, sir.
First, I would like to say thanks for having me and granting me an opportunity to be heard. My name is Curtis Jerome Smith. I am 54 years of age. I am confined to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety. I'm serving consecutive sentences totaling two natural life terms plus 280 years. And despite having completed 31 years of detention in prison, any consideration for parole or release will not occur until February 19, 1999. I'm 78 years from today. As the state has handed me a virtual death sentence for crimes I did not commit. Briefly, my issues and what I have been trying to have in this state as well as in the federal circuit to address is that I was indicted, convicted, and sentenced multiple times in the same trial and at the same time for essentially the same offense. That would be armed robbery. Two, for offenses that never took place under North Carolina law. So that will be first and second degree kidnapping. And finally, for offenses that was used by the state as essential elements on the one hand, on constituting other criminal acts upon which I was accused. And as separate distinct standalone offenses on the other hand, that would be the first degree sexual assault. Now, I did everything that I am expected to do as a defendant who was trying to have access to the court. And I've been silent at every level and every court in this state. I don't have money to represent for attorneys to represent me on my cause. And I understand, and I have come to realize that it is very much an unjust system that we have. Folks don't realize to this extent, to the degree, how this unjust is being actually played out in courtrooms across the country, not just in this state. And I also will learn how long I have been placing trust in the system and the judiciary. Dr. McCormick, I appreciate you and I having crossed paths. And I appreciate everyone who is fighting.
Go ahead. There's something falling in the studio. Go ahead. I think there's something falling in the studio. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. And it is sad, but I also have more than just hope. I have a degree of certainty that most folks, those informed folks that synthesize it, they understand. Towards criminal sentence reduction reform by a bill that was introduced in April of this year. However, sadly, it excludes the eligibility of those who could participate and ones with life sentences. So that means I have no recourse, even with this new newness that is upon the state. When they want to try to take steps to correct some injustices as far as this sentences. and it's sad. And you would really have to know some history behind the North Carolina citizen structures that they have. In fact, because I've been in the system for 3 decades, I fall upon a law that no longer exists. But this law that's been introduced, they affect me, and they adversely affect me. And I will say that before 1981, the judges in this state, they was able to utilize their discretion when it comes to citizen guys. And the parole commission had the ability to release.
And Michael, can you still hear?
At any point in their term. But after 1981 and until September of 1994, the Fair Citizen Act, which were the law that applied to me, the prison just became overpopulated and overcrowded, in part because this new law eliminated the discretionary for most felons, on the judges, I should say. So in response to this overcrowded, the legislature in this state, they allowed the parole commission to release prison early. Well, what happened with that is overcrowding still remained a big problem, and the public saw the release of prisoners as being something that was so evil that they predictably they thought, you know, calling their legislators and demanding that they do something to keep guys in prison longer. And so they introduced what they call a structured citizen, which took effect October 1994 and remains in place today. You know, it covers the felonies and misdemeanors of the state. And it was designed to give these people an opportunity to predict from year to year what the prison, the state prison population would be, so they can allocate money appropriately. But what's unfair is that when you receive a sentence under a prior sentence structure that would now, and it does carry a less amount of time than it would upon the where I got convicted, you have people that would normally be sentenced to 20 to 30 years today. Well, I was sentenced life sentence back then. And armed robbery today, you get 8 years, 9 years, I don't know. Well, in fact, I got 40 years for it. So I have 10 sentences. I have 2 natural life sentences. I have 4 40-year sentences. And I have 4 30-year sentences for kidnapping. And there's no way that I could live for 7 or 8 more years to where I can be considered for parole. And this is not a homicide case. And in fact, some cases that involve double homicide, people will spend 20 or 25 years, maybe 30 years, and they'll get out. They'll get a chance to be released from prison. Here I am still sitting here, sir.
Yeah, I was saying 4 sentences for 30 years for kidnapping, 2 2 sentences life, and then that first one, 4 sentences for what? What was that first one for?
The 4 counts of kidnapping produced 158.
Okay.
40 years apiece. 4 counts of kidnapping produced 30 years apiece, which is 120 years. So the 120 years for the 4 counts of kidnapping, and the 160 years for the 4 counts of armed robbery combined. It's 208 years, and then they box card. That means that I must serve one sentence before I begin the next sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only on a life sentence. I have not yet begun the other 9 sentences. So I cannot be released off the life sentence because in North Carolina, natural life means natural life, regardless of whether they give you parole possibility or not. You know what I'm saying? So it's political, even in that endeavor.
So they got you locked in. They got you locked in as an inmate. As long as you're living.
Right.
That is so cruel.
That is why that is. They violate due process. They did violate the double jeopardy protection. It violates the Fifth Amendment right to a trial. It violates the Sixth Amendment right to the Defense Assistance Council. It violates so many state and federal laws. And this is why I say, Dr. McCormick, and to your listening, to your audience, that they don't want to entertain this case. Because it was exposed.
Call the 9 or 10. We're listening to Curtis Smith interview from the other day.
Okay, now here's something that's very critical. So for his media blasting.
Thank you.
I need a chronological.
Can you hear the? You can hear it, right?
Violations,
yeah.
Constitutional
okay.
violations that they are holding you for. In other words, they got you sitting there. We're talking about a natural life center plus a life without parole. In other words, you're cut out of being. Your situation as an inmate to be addressed. How is
exactly.
that possible?
Exactly.
Get to
the old law.
Yeah. Get to Dr. McCormick all the violations. Just specifically the violation and the statute.
Constitutional
violation
in this case.
Yeah, such as due process. You know what I'm saying? Just line them out so that when we begin to blast media-wise, we can go to each one of them and go to the law book and pull the title for that particular situation and what it's called to address that situation and your situation where it can be addressed, if you understand what I'm saying.
And if you check your email box, Dr. McCormick, I had a letter that I wrote that was a personal correspondence, as well as I was accompanied by a order from the Chief United States District Judge in the Eastern District of the...
Can you hear clearly?
And it would outline every issue what I have
okay, thank you.
Constitutional violation on part of the state of North Carolina.
Okay.
Not just the evidentiary feature of the case, because all they ever had was a faulty witness identification. But that document that I've been submitted to both the federal and state courts, it includes the perjury on behalf of the witnesses, including the police and prosecutorial misconduct. You know, it included the fabrication and the presentation of fabricated evidence to the jury. So all of that stuff is laid out. You know. And the reason why the federal court, the judge, he didn't allow it to go forward for as my habeas corpus is because of a statutory time limit. But I tried to explain to him that here again, in North Carolina, there's no statute of limitation as to filing any post-conviction papers or documents. There's no time limit. So...
You're absolutely correct. You are correct.
You got me? And so if they don't allow a time limit to be imposed upon when you can file papers to challenge your conviction, well, then the one-year statute of limitations don't begin until after I have given the state one complete round of trying to address the federal constitutional issues, you know. And so I was well within that. In fact, I was only 3-4 months within that time frame before I filed the federal court. So it's just that it's a case that probably requires people to want to first review it. And trust you me, the facts will present themselves. It is not something that of a moral or emotional issue on my part. All legal, you understand? And everything is done within the analysis of a legal framework that's based upon their statutes and their laws. And there are court cases.
Yes,
you
did. Right, exactly. And what we want to do, and what we have done, is I am examining every fact in your case, everything to do with your case. And that's why we're having this petition signed on your behalf, because we want the public to know that you have been kidnapped.
Literally, that's the right word. He has been kidnapped and held in the North Carolina penal system.
Right. But, and because I refuse to entertain any other disposition other than what I stated in the initial time when the handcuffs came on, I did not commit any crimes. And I stand by that, and I will die with that statement. I have not participated, I had no knowledge of any crime being committed.
And this kidnapping is you've been kidnapping who?
Right, exactly. These people were not tied up. They were not multiple counts of armed robbery, even if I had committed this type of crime, it's only to be one armed robbery. Only one incident of an armed robbery. And here in North Carolina, you take money from the victims of an armed robbery. Well, then the state is not allowed to charge multiple counts of armed robbery. They can only charge larceny. They can charge multiple counts of larceny per victim and one count of armed robbery. And it's just the way that the law is in North Carolina. It's the way that the law is in the federal circuit and their laws. So they cannot get around that. They know that. These people have had almost 15 years to be silenced up to them. And they understand what my position is. And I just don't understand why that they are so personified, other than it's a position. It's something else going on, you know, other than the crime.
In the case of the kidnapping, did anybody come forward identifying you as a kidnapper?
No.
Wow.
See, the one never was kidnapped. You see what I'm saying, Dr. Porter? If you hold a person against their will, that's kidnapping. No, it's not. That's unlawful restraint. If you rob a person in the commission, then they are automatically restrained. There's some inherent restraint in armed robbery. So the state can't charge separately kidnapping. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, check the facts out, and the facts will lead you to the truth of the matter. You know, that's anyone.
They haven't even identified anybody that says you kidnapped him?
No.
Oh,
you got me? Hello, Michael.
Oh, you mean Melissa? Yeah.
Okay. Look, guys, this was we recorded this the other day on my other recording system, but my other computer went blank, so I started up another computer and connected with Blog Talk Radio, and I ran that recording today. We're going to continue to push Curtis's case, because I have not. This is 90 seconds live. Even though we are got 90 seconds, we can still remain on the line for another hour. Is there anything any of you guys would like to say that's listening now?
Well,
Anything anybody would like to say? Hello?
No, thank you.
Yeah, okay. I was asking, did y'all want to have anything to say? Any of the callers? 930. Okay, I guess not. But then if you all have nothing else to say, we're going to go ahead and continue to get information, and I'm going to continue to talk with Dr. McCorvey on the transcripts and the information that he had on the constitutional violations that are involved in Curtis's case, and we will continue to push it before the public. All right, and thank you all guys for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to some music to cover out the rest of the hour. Hey, Michael, are you still there? Michael McCorvey. Michael McCorvey. Dr. McCorvey. Dr. McCorvey. Okay, Dr. McCorvey is on the line, and he's been holding for 30 to 25 minutes, but I can't hear anything that he's saying. So I am going to go to the switchboard and scroll down and find some music to play. Okay. Okay, let's go to PIR Prison Reform S. Okay. We're in the studio here in Beatrice, Alabama. We have been listening to Curtis Joel Smith. He has been incarcerated in the North Carolina penal system for quite a while for crimes he did not commit. He's even incarcerated for rape. But there is no no rape kit information, no swab, anything like that that he has been where he has been tested for rape. He said they have taken pubic hair type stuff like that. And information like that, but nobody's come forward where he was accused of rape. We are in the studios here at 231 6th Avenue. What about the case where you have been involved in with injustice? What do you think of the criminal justice system? What is your let's go back and play this one here for you.
Jim Crow, Roots in the KKK.
Warning: if you do not know the significance of the 14th Amendment, watch at your own risk. A 14th Amendment video is linked in the description for your learning convenience.
Hey guys, welcome to Hip Hughes History. We're going to take a quick look at the term Jim Crow, its meaning, its influence, its impact on the United States of America, because you need to know whether you're a kid in school, whether you're a lifelong learner, or whether you're cray-cray on the internet, understanding Jim Crow should be a requirement of citizenship.
La, 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 la.
So let's talk a little bit about the origin of the word Jim Crow before we go into kind of the concept of de jure and de facto segregation. Jump Jim Crow was an old song and dance routine that originated in 1828, which was written by a white comedian by the name of T.D. Daddy Rice, who would perform in blackface, basically to make fun of slaves.
Wheel about and turn about and do just so. Every time I wheel about, I jump Jim Crow.
The term Jim itself is short for Jimmy, like I'm going to jimmy a lock, and that was a crowbar.